Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
River safety this morning, and the old crew that gets together yearly for this day is here. April Peterson is here. Captain John Henson is here. Katie Brady is here, and Kelsey Bracewell here this morning. Welcome all. It's great to have you here, and with high river water this morning. Especially good to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's be clear, not old in age, old in experience, correct?
Old friends.
That's
old
right.
Friends
has there been.
I like that about
it. Done this show a few
good
times. Thanks. Good to have you all here. First of all, the river right now. I was just mentioning off air that I hadn't been kayaking this year, and Katie, you said don't go out today. And thank you for that advice. I mean, it's high and moving.
It is. It's with all the rain that we just had. It's the river levels are up. We've had road closures, park closures because of it. And even though the river may not look like it's moving fast, there is a swift current out there. There's debris that's been washed down with all the river that or all the water that's coming down through the river. Today is not the day to be out recreating on the river.
And debris, and then some of that stuff's big.
Yeah, trees, all kinds of different debris and things that are coming down, and you can easily get snagged on that if you're out trying to paddle, kayak, canoe, swim, whatever on the river. People get stuck on those things, they get hung up on those things, and then the current just overtakes them.
Katie Brady with Stafford Fire and Rescue, Kelsey Bracewell with the American Canoe Association, and even if you're experienced, and I guess one of the great things about on the river to have the different color codes, it's been in red for a while, and then we'll go down to yellow and green, but pay attention to those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, I'd also echo what Katie said, now is not the right day, but in addition to the color codes of the gauges, the water itself is dirty. It is dark, and not only can you get hung up on trees and root balls and other snags that are floating around or coming down, you can't even see the ones that are under the water right now. And there's plenty of other things that we don't want to find and we don't want to find us, but in addition to getting hung up on some of that debris, you can actually be tubing or kayaking or whatever, and it come up behind you or from underneath you or some other thing and hit you from behind. And that'll also topple you over. You'll get snagged up in it, and then it's just game over. So today is not the day.
Captain John Henson was with Stafford Fire and Rescue, the Swift Water Rescue Team. It's been people who go out on these kinds of days, and then you guys have to put yourselves in danger oftentimes to try to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. There's significant risk involved with, you know, even us going out to try to perform rescues. We had the conversation yesterday about just doing some training because, you know, we do like to take the opportunity when we have these types of conditions to, you know, kind of hone our skills in a more challenging environment. And yesterday was even, you know, too much for us to go out there without damaging equipment or hurting people. You know, it's just not safe. With that much debris in the water, it's just not safe to be out there at all, even for a professional.
I was going to say, you guys are professionals. You train for this. You have training to know things that most people don't.
Yeah. And we evaluate the conditions. You know, when we have that much debris in the water, it's just not safe. And, you know, the other side of the water being stained and dirty is there's also unknown hazards that are present. You know, all this water is getting washed in from roadways and all the creeks. You know, there's stuff in the water that obviously we don't want in there. And it's just not safe if it gets on your skin or you ingest it. There's a lot of other hazards, you know, that are associated with that.
April Peterson, you're as big an advocate for the river that I know, but not now.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the unique things about the Rappahannock that sometimes gets confusing, because sometimes Powlers, you know, with other rivers where there may be big dam releases and you're looking for increased height and flow, and that's when you get out to paddle. And so I think sometimes when people see rains coming, water levels are up, this is a great time to go rafting or get in your whitewater boat and really let's, you know, get out in the whitewater. But the Rappahannock's different. I mean, it's a free-flowing river. We talk about that a lot. There's nothing that stops this debris coming down from, you know, the upper river down. It's dirty, as Kelsey said, huge trees. If you just go stand on Riverside Drive and watch the power of the river, that's where you can hear it and see it best, I think. You understand why it's different than maybe some of those other rivers where this would be a prime time to maybe get out there and paddle. It's just, it's not safe on our river. It's not safe on the Rappahannock. And if our rescue personnel, if they're not putting their toes in it, you know, certainly we shouldn't be as recreational paddlers.
And I think last night the city did a favor by mentioning, because it started, it looked like it was going down yesterday, and they put out an alert that it would be with high tide, it was going to go back up to 15 feet for flood stage last night. And the tidal part of it makes that kind of unknown in these kinds of days.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for the city. You know, this wasn't always the case. Even 10 years ago when we first came to the area, there was nobody putting out notices, you know, or it was quiet. People just weren't talking about it. And now that more people are recreating on the rivers, which is exactly what we want them to do, I'm really happy that the city is putting out those notices and they're talking about it and talking about it in a smart way. You know, one post said from city leadership said, don't get on the river, but if you must, wear a life vest. And you must not.
Right.
Let's just be clear. Do not get on the river right now under these conditions. And again, it's really obvious when you go stand at Riverside Drive and see what we're talking about. It's really clear why you must not get on the river now for your own safety.
It's so loud.
Well, it's so loud. And it's not just our safety. It's for your safety. It's for your family, but it's also for our rescue personnel, which, you know, we talk about a lot. I don't want them out there having to rescue somebody who was making a bad choice, and then they get themselves in a situation where they may be hurt as well. So, you know, protect everybody, stand on the side and just watch it, you know.
And there are good tools out there, and anybody can jump in on any of this if you want to jump in and add to any of this. But there really are some good tools out there. Friends of the Rappahannock has things on there. So there's things out there. RespectTheRap.com, a great site.
Yeah, and that's why I like that program so much. It isn't necessarily that one program is doing anything, except that it pulled us all together so that we're all talking in the same language. So whether it's Friends of the Rappahannock or River Rock or the Swiftwater Rescue Teams, Fire Department, you know, ACA, we're all saying the same thing, which is amplifying all of our voices out there. So that's why I love that program so much. And if you go to respecttherap.com, you'll see all of our program's information on there, and it'll tell you exactly what those water levels should be. When you're looking at flow, when you're looking at height, you know, the fact that our Swiftwater Rescue guys out of Stafford Fire and Rescue, the fact that they put up those river gauges, particularly at city docks, which mm-hmm. wasn't an easy task for them to do, figuring out with tide and water heights. Now you can go and you don't even have to be a mathematician to try to figure it out or look at gauges or, you know, anything. You just look at green, yellow, and red, and it tells you exactly what you need to do. If it's outside of the green, don't go. You know, it's that simple.
Yeah. No, John, when you go down to City Dock, that is a great indication of if you've got any questions. And you know your ability. If you see it in yellow and you're you know, like me, a relatively new person on the river, probably best to stay away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was an important project, you know, that we were able to partner with the city and, you know, some of our outfitter friends and, you know, it is nice having just that visual gauge that's there. You know, people can easily see it and decide, you know, hey, okay, now's a great time to go, or maybe I mm-hmm. should stay off the river today.
Yeah. Quick break. We're going to continue on this morning as we talk water safety with some experts here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, T. Ted Schubel.
We are talking now water safety this morning with Kelsey Bracewell, Katie Brady, Captain John Henson, and April Peterson all here, all people who have various roles on the river and with safety. Before we jump into a lot of this, John, about a year ago we were talking about this. Stafford Fire and Rescue, the Swiftwater Rescue Team, you signed an agreement with the state and as far as getting involved. It really was a great ceremony and such an honor for you guys. And then last fall, it was some of the pictures that, and some of the stories you guys had coming back with the flooding down in North Carolina. You guys were called into action, and you spent some time in the Damascus area, Southwest Virginia?
Yeah. So we did sign an agreement with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management to be a deployable asset for the state as a water rescue team. And we sent an 8-person team last fall for Hurricane Helene. We got assigned down to southwestern Virginia. We ended up partnering with some other northern Virginia fire departments and ended up in the town of Damascus, which was hit really hard. For those that are somewhat familiar with the area, the Virginia Creeper Trail runs through there. It's a big, mountain bike and, hiking trail that people use, and it kind of drives the economy down in that area, and a lot of it was just completely devastated. We were down there, and we went to a town called Taylor's Valley, which was a little bit up the mountain from Damascus, and there were multiple bridges that were washed out, and ultimately we ended up rescuing 19 people out of that area that were stranded across these bodies of water that were created from the storm. There were whole houses that were washed down the river. The infrastructure was completely destroyed. Like I said, the bridges were wiped out, and they're still rebuilding. We send our prayers to them, and hope that they get the continued support that they need to rebuild and get that infrastructure back up and running.
But what an honor, just for you guys to go, and just for the, and I mean, you put your training to use, and like you say, you were telling me stories. I mean, you'll never forget some of those images.
It was incredible. The people that were down there, just an incredible people. The sense of community that was there in that area, they knew exactly who lived in what house. The night of the main flooding, like I said, whole houses were washed down the river, and this elderly family was in their home when it was washed down the river. The entire first floor was ripped off of it, and the husband ended up in the river. He was clinging onto a tree. His wife thought that he was gone, had lost him. One of the helicopter crews ended up locating him and was able to pick him off out of the river. The next day we went there and were able to rescue his wife, out of the house. They thought that she was gone. We ended up finding her. And she was happy and safe, and it was really meaningful to be able to go down there and do that work. And probably the most rewarding part of it was we got everybody to safety, got everybody to shore. The National Guard helped us get everybody down the mountain, and the staging area was down in the actual town of Damascus. And all of the victims, that we rescued were lined up on the sidewalk there, waiting for transport to the local shelter. And when we came back into town, they were all there, and we just got to spend some time with them and talk to them. And it was just a really powerful moment, and it was something I'll never forget for sure.
Just the power of nature. Yeah. When you hear those stories.
I mean, I think it's so important. Like, it's such a big deal that we've got Stafford Fire and Rescue here. I mean, with what they do just in our state, but what they're called to do, all over the East Coast, the fact that we have an international nonprofit like the ACA here, all in our little community, our little wrap, it's pretty incredible. But what I would say is that visibility for what Stafford Fire and Rescue does for our river is what has 100% changed the game. No matter what we say or do or beg people to do, the fact that they are they're on the river, they're a visible presence, they've done the gauges and the signs, and they're sitting on rocks to pull people out of the river when they're doing goofy things, the fact that they're just present is what has absolutely changed the game for safety on our river.
And the equipment that you guys have and the training that you do. I've seen a little bit of it, of the training and the equipment, and it's amazing.
Yeah, we're super blessed, you know, that the county supports us to do that work. You know, and the fire chief is a big supporter of the program. So we're able to go out there and, you know, we have over 80 members now that are certified in swift water rescue. Our technical rescue team, which is our deployable team, has about 50 people on it. And we have a lot of training that we, you know, credential everybody to make sure that they're up to par. We do, you know, drills, it seems, every month on the river for honestly, just even, you know, search and rescue stuff, animal rescue stuff. And we're constantly looking at ways to expand and different things that we just encounter in calls. We've had a couple of mud rescue calls in the past, and that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, we're expanding into this year. Is, you know, we bought some mud rescue equipment, and we're, you know, looking at adding that, you know, capability, so that if we have those incidents, we're better prepared for them. We've put a lot of people through ice rescue training. You know, we've started to see ice again in Fredericksburg, you know, and so a lot of the, and it's not just Stafford County, you know, we have our regional partners too in the city of Fredericksburg, Spotsy, King George. You know, we all try to work together and share the burden of training, you know, because it all comes down to dollars and cents. And, you know, so we try to share that load when we can and host, you know, training for each other, so that we can ensure that, you know, the whole region is up to par on a lot of these skills.
No, April makes a great point. I mean, Katie, you've been, when Kentucky had a lot of things a few years ago, really bad situations, and you, on the public information side of things, were able to go and help them. There's this area does provide a lot, not only around here.
Absolutely. I deployed to Kentucky in August of 2022 to Eastern Kentucky after they had some devastating flooding, not from a hurricane necessarily, but from a different storm system. And a lot of what Captain Henson described is very similar to what we were seeing in Kentucky. It's that mountainous, rural communities that everyone knows everyone, but with the rainfall coming down the mountains into those that normally trickle creeks that people have just a little bridge to get over into their driveway, and those turned into, you know, huge rivers in a matter of hours and washed out, I think in that region, to the tune of over 1,000 small bridges, effectively isolating a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we all have seen, but it's not uncommon to underestimate the power of water. Everything that it brings with it, it just takes everything with it. We were seeing Jeeps, like, flipped up and suspended, like, 30 feet in the air, just from where it had been flipped over by the river. You know, in a lot of places when I got there, it had been, the water had receded, but we could see the water lines, and people were just literally scooping up in shovels what was left.
Yeah. Thanks for what you all do. American Canoe Association, Kelsey, I mean, you provide so much training for all of us. And I think it was last year we first talked about, and a lot of what you do also is expanded too. I mean, there's videos out there, but also like in different languages, in the Spanish language, to try to help train. Just the training you provide everyone who uses the river.
Yeah, well, can I back up for a quick second and say, as somebody who, I came to the ACA having been a very active whitewater paddler, and as somebody who, when it does rain and the water comes up, does get excited from time to time, I recognize how the experienced paddlers, or the not experienced paddlers, whatever, here in Fredericksburg, are their own community, and their attitude towards the river at this level may be different than the average person. And I want all of them to know that they set the example and are the face of the paddling community in this town and in this region, honestly. And so how all of our river lovers, river recreators, and other advocates act, both on the river and online, about this really does influence the way that this region looks at us, thinks about us, utilizes its resources. And so just be safe for the sake of other people who look at you.
That's a good point. Because I could look at you, and you have so much training. And I've been on the river with you, of how you just, the things you can do and maneuver around, but not everybody can. And sometimes you have to realize you don't want someone to think, well, if she can do that, I can do that.
Yeah, and oh man, as much as it pains us to say, we see that in other activities perhaps, and we think the same thing. So ACA, the fact that it is an international nonprofit and it happens to be here in Fredericksburg, you know, the Rapp is our home river and we love it and we recognize its similarity to all rivers and its differences also. And so you would see our training that emphasizes that you don't have to follow the thing you said you would do. Just because you're excited about the high water and all your friends are going, that doesn't mean you need to go. You can exercise good judgment and don't let your thrill seeking or your like picture for the gram get in the way of you making a smart choice. And so you can say the weather is great today and it's safe and I have a team of people who are all experienced and can help each other out and it's fine to stay and play, but maybe today isn't the day. And how I act and behave and make decisions influences other people and trickles all the way down, or in the case of the river right now, rushes all the way down to our first responders and keeps them from having to hurt themselves, rescue ourselves. And you'll find that reinforcement in all of ACA's educational materials in any language on any platform.
I guess not only know your own limitations, but...
Well, it's tough to call out your friends when you see them making an unwise choice. Yeah. Nobody wants to be told you're wrong. Nobody wants to be rejected. No one wants to look bad. But I would much rather look bad than lose my gear, lose my life, or make a trouble for somebody else.
Good work. ACA has some terrific videos on training and how to do things. Just go to the website. Is that the best place to track them down?
You can find, we have a couple hundred educational videos on all sorts of topics, on all sorts of paddlecraft. You can find them on our website, americancanoe.org. You can also check out America's Boating Channel, which is its own streaming platform for all things water-related, so paddling, power boating, sailing. You can, I think, Flipper's on there, too. So if you're just in the mood for that kind of thing, you can find all sorts of water videos and TV series and all sorts of stuff all in the same place.
Kelsey Bracewell is here from the American Canoe Association. April Peterson from River Rock Outfitter. Captain John Henson with Stafford Fire and Rescue, Swiftwater Rescue Team. And Katie Brady with Stafford Fire and Rescue. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will continue this conversation when we come back. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning as we talk river safety with April, John, Katie, and Kelsey, who are all with have different responsibilities, but boy, really, really know the river. And we can't ever do this show without, and I'll start with April because April is the first, one of the first times you came in and somehow we got onto life jackets and you were so passionate and the whole show turned into a life jacket show.
I just don't understand. How do we make it cool, Ted? Like, I feel like in...
And they really are cool now.
They are cool. And I mean, just think of it. I don't know what we went through. I'm not old enough to know when seatbelts became a thing.
Yeah.
You just put your seatbelt on. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, skateboarders, snowboarders.
I know what you, because they, you know, there's the beep in the car for like a kayak and a...
We need a beep.
You need a beep.
Maybe that's what we need. I'm going to talk to those kayak manufacturers. Because something, we just need to make it cool. Where you don't even think about it. All the cool kids wear them. You want to be like the cool kids, so you put your life vest on. We need to get to that stage, and we're not there yet. And what I don't understand is, it isn't any less comfortable than helmets or any of those other safety devices that you wear with any other sport. And people just don't want to do it. And the one thing that really gets me is, we were selling a kayak the other day at the store, and we're introducing this lady to all the different parts in the kayak. And her first question to me and my staff was, well, where does the life vest go? Literally, like, looked at me. She clearly didn't know me, because she would never have asked that question. Where does the life vest
After
go?
After 4 or 5 hours hearing you talk.
Like, what do you mean? Like, on your body? Like, what do you mean where it goes? Like, there is no other place where it goes. It doesn't make sense. why buy a life vest then? Just don't buy it. You know, if you're going to just store it in the compartment of your kayak or in bungees or on the front of your sup, what is the point? Buy a life vest and wear it. And they're comfortable and they don't have to be expensive. And get one that fits and zip it and clip it and you will forget that it's even on. I promise. So all the cool kids are doing it. We're doing it. Buy one, wear it.
We mentioned we were going to talk about this. Katie just sat back and had this disgusted look on her face and said, just wear it.
Just wear your life jacket. I was asking Captain Henson. We haven't had anyone drown on the Rappahannock who was wearing a life jacket. It will at least keep you afloat long enough for us to get to you. It gives us extra handles to pull you up and out of the water. And it will at least keep your head above water so you can continue breathing. You may get washed down the river a little bit depending on the current, but just like April said, just wear it. If it's attached to your watercraft and you capsize and that watercraft gets pulled down the river from you, that nice life jacket that is strapped nicely, compactly into your kayak or canoe that is now further down the river than you are is not doing you any good.
You know, one of the things we hear most often, too, is we talk a lot about the river because that's, the thing that most of us are concerned about since it's in our backyard. But one of the things we hear a lot about in the shop is, well, I'm just paddling on reservoirs or lakes. I'm already a really good swimmer. You know, these are things that people will often say to us to justify not wearing a vest. And it, truthfully, I don't care what water you're on. You're on one of our little reservoirs. You're on Lake Mooney, Lake Anna. Wear a vest whenever you are on the water, period. Because it doesn't matter the condition. I mean, we've seen many times where somebody, and personally this has happened to me, where you're out in the sun all day, you're not properly hydrated, you get lightheaded, you feel faint, you haven't had the right calories. And even the best swimmer, somebody that talks about safety all the time, somebody who's an experienced paddler, you know, can go down, and you need to make sure you have a life vest for those situations. So just always wear it, no matter where you are on the water. Just have it on your body.
And Kelsey, I look at somebody like you who's you live on the water, you do all kinds of things on the water, you always have a life jacket on when you're on the water.
Yeah, in fact, I own half a dozen of them. and I always keep a couple spares with me when I go in case my friends forget theirs or don't have one for whatever reason. But people think that you can keep it in your boat until you need it, right? Well, again, just like Katie said, if your boat drifts away from you, you obviously can't. Or if it doesn't, I would suggest that getting, like, you floating in the water, taking that life jacket out, trying to get it on appropriately is very challenging, if not impossible, depending on your fitness and the strength of the water and a bunch of other factors. But it's just like if you're in a car wreck waiting until you hit somebody else with your car or a tree with your car to put your seatbelt on, or riding your bike and you wait until you hit your head on the ground to put your helmet on.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And so, again, I feel without when I am not wearing my life jacket. And I'm a triathlete. I can swim for miles. I still wear one anyway. It doesn't matter how strong of a swimmer that you are. And certainly some of the people that you'll find on rivers and lakes, again, they might be dehydrated for the fact that they didn't bring enough water, or they've been drinking alcohol, or some other combination of factors that lead to them not having their faculties. And again, a life jacket, it'll keep you afloat. It'll also help insulate you from the cold, because, by the way, that water is colder than your core body temperature, and you're going to get cold eventually, even if the water's not cold the moment you step in. So it has so many factors that are good. There's no reason not to.
And we come on the show every year this day for a very specific reason. It's the National Safe Boating Council designates this day as, you know, wear it day, wear your life vest to work day. And so our city will be posting messages all day long about city staff wearing their vest. You'll look at all of our social media pages where we're promoting that event today, just as a reminder for all the reasons that we're talking about here, why we think that it's important for you to wear your life vest.
What is it? Zip it up, clip it tight.
Yeah. You know, and I think Captain Henson talks about this all the time. It's one thing to have a vest. It's another thing to have a vest that fits you right and have it zipped. And then, you know, it makes me happy when I see somebody on the river in a life vest trying, and it's fully unzipped, and they're leaning back, you know, drinking, enjoying the river.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're halfway there. You know, you're so close. You're so close. Just zip that vest
up. You can do it.
Do it. You're so close.
Captain Henson, you must, you've done 1,000 stories of rescues and people not wearing vests correctly or just not wearing them.
Yeah, I could tell you there's a common theme. These people that, you know, have the vest with them, but it's not on their body. You know, there's that saying, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. And that's exactly what happens. You know, they, I could tell you that in every instance, when somebody has a life jacket with them and then we get called out to go rescue them because they've, you know, flip their boat over, they've lost their boat, they've lost their paddle. There's, you know, a million things that can happen out there that people just don't think of. In every instance, they will take the life jacket if they still have the capability, and then they will put it on after the issue has already happened, and they'll be wearing a life jacket when we get to them. So, you know, it's why do that, right? Like, just wear it from the beginning. You might have been able to get yourself out of that bad situation that you were presented with that was unexpected if you would have had the life jacket on in the first place. You know, but you're certainly going to be safer, you know, and you'll be in a much better place. And unfortunately, we do, you know, have people drown. You know, thankfully, not as frequently as it used to happen, but we still do have people drown. And in every case, it's they were not wearing a PFD.
And I like, I guess everybody's talking about different things. And I guess in a lot of cases, just you feel like either, like you say, I'll have time to put it on, or...
Yeah.
Like, or I can swim and I don't need one of those.
And that's the thing, right? Like, as April was saying, you know, you think about like, oh, I'm, you know, in good shape, I can swim, I can do these things, I don't need to wear it. And that's in the best case scenario. Like, we don't respond, you know, on the best day of your life. We respond normally on the worst day of your life when the things that you didn't think could happen to you. And unfortunately, it happens all the time. You know, we run, you know, several incidents a year, you know, on the river. And it's always, you know, because of some unsafe practice, you know, or poor planning or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, and I'll say, like, life jackets now are comfortable. You know, they're cool. You can get them, you know, in pretty much any different color, any style you like for any activity that you're doing. They have fishing specific life jackets. They have whitewater paddling specific life jackets. They've got life jackets, you know, specific for doing stand up paddle boarding. You know, and they've got cool storage compartments. They've got, you know, places you could put stuff that you should have on you anyway, like your cell phone in a dry bag, you know, all these other things. You've got a place to keep that on your person. So if you do get separated from your boat, it's with you. You know, so there's more to it than just the safety and the flotation. You know, it's also kind of just having that whole safety kit that's with you. If something happens, you have all that stuff now. You can contact, you know, emergency responders if you need them, and you have a plan.
Just wear it.
Just wear it. Just wear it. It's easy.
You mentioned about some accessories along in putting a cell phone in a bag, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, another great thing is a whistle. Having a signaling device with you is always a really good idea. You know, if you have any, you know, special medicines or, you know, anything like that, if you've got allergies, you know, like keep your EpiPen with you, that sort of thing. We always recommend that obviously you have a float plan if you're going out for any sort of long trip. Make sure that you tell somebody, you know, that you're going on the river, where you're launching from, you know, where you plan to take out from, you know, your expected time that you're going to be there, the vehicle that you're driving, the type of boat that you're in, you know, the color of your life jacket or the clothing that you're wearing. All that stuff is super helpful to us if you do have an issue and you know, we are called out. If we have that information, it's a lot easier for us to locate you, especially on a busy holiday weekend when there's, you know, thousands of people out on the river. It can make a big difference for sure. And also, you know, once you start to get more experience, there's other things that you can carry too that can help other people as well, you know, and the ACA is a great resource for training and river rescue stuff, and you know, they could teach you all that stuff, but having you know, some basic, like a throwback that you can use to assist other people if somebody gets in trouble. We run numerous calls a year too, where we get there and other experienced paddlers are there and they've actually already helped somebody to safety. And, you know, like that is a huge thing that the community can do. You know, if they have the experience and they go and seek out the training from the great asset, you know, in the American Canoe Association that we have right here in Fredericksburg, you know, think about maybe getting some of that training and learning how you can help your fellow paddlers and learn some of these basic river rescue skills and techniques so that you can not only protect yourself and save yourself, but also help, you know, some of the people that you're paddling with. And kind of along with that, you know, you really should be paddling with a buddy. You know, we don't recommend going out there by yourself. You know, it's always helpful to, especially, you know, in an environment like the river, it's always helpful to have somebody there that's with you. You kind of need it in most cases anyway, if you're doing any sort of float, because you got to move vehicles around, so it's helpful. But, you know, having somebody to paddle with can make a big difference too.
Kelsey, as we talked about, I mean, the training and everything that ACA offers is, and it's, and as you progress and get some more experience, like Captain Henson said,
yeah, well,
get some training.
Yes, get some training. I would say all of these other pieces of rescue equipment are fantastic. However, if you don't know how to use it, I wouldn't bring a whole bunch of stuff with you. It's more stuff to lose. It's more stuff to get tangled in. So yes, a throw up is great, but don't tie yourself up with it, or tie someone else to it, or tie your cooler with it, you know. So I would say bring a whistle. Yeah, bring a fully charged cell phone. And this float plan, even if you're just going to go out for an hour, take a picture of your car with your boat on it and send it to somebody who is responsible enough to come looking for you if you don't come home, yeah. Right? I've heard people say it as a joke, someone who is not the recipient of your life insurance policy, perhaps, but somebody who cares if you are alive at the end of the day, right? So tell somebody, and then when you get done, say, hey, I'm back home, thanks. That it could be that simple. And in addition to just doing that pre-planning of telling somebody where you're going to be, practice, right? So in a group of two, I would say three, if it were me, I'd go out with three people or more, but practice, hey, this is what happens when my boat flips over, and this is what happens if I need to use a throw bag and pull somebody in who's swimming with a boat or just by themselves, or this is what happens if a boat gets stuck on a rock, you know. So you can learn these things from the community without having to take a formal course, and that's fine. But all of the coursework that ACA offers, you know, we have had the nation's, you know, most highly recognized educational programs since 1972. And we have so many experienced people that can tell you exactly what to do and why to do it that way, and all the tools that you need and how you can improvise and all sorts of amazing things. And I would just say, seek out this training from wherever you can find it. But certainly give us a call or walk up into our building in downtown Fredericksburg. We'd love to connect you with the resources you need.
Where are you located?
We are on William Street. On 520, right across the street from Sedona.
Okay. April, you've talked to me many times. We've not done it because I've tried to avoid you on the topic. You have said you need to go out and I need to have you get back, you know, be able to get back into your boat.
Yeah, it's just being prepared. And we've, through respecttherap.com, people can go, all of these resources that Kelsey and Captain Henson discuss is all pulled together into one local resource. The float plan that Captain Henson created is there for you to download, so you don't have to think about this. All of the resources through ACA are linked to that site. Information, including videos, and it's written, any form that works best for you on there, to talk to you a little bit about what are safe paddling levels for the Rappahannock. So everything there in one location that you can reference really easily so that you can best prepare. And I think that's what this entire conversation is and always has been about, which is just planning and being prepared for any possible scenario.
And in your case, as you sell things to people and ask questions, if you're buying something and you're not sure how it works or if you need it or what might be better, talk to somebody.
Yeah, and I think that's, we take that very seriously at River Rock. I mean, we are a, you know, 7 day a week, 365 presence for our customers who can call and ask us, hey, what's the water levels now? What's the river doing? You know, what type of gear do I need to bring? You know, all of those things are things that our staff can answer anytime. And certainly when you're in the store before purchases are made, we discuss those safety things always. And I think that that's important. But, you know, again, that kind of single source, go to respecttherap.com, get all this great information, make sure that you are planned and ready and stay safe. We're going to have an amazing season, I think. The fact that we have rain this early, I mean, it's just, there's lots of goodness. We talk about the scary things, but there's so much goodness to this river and accessing it and playing on it, recreating on it. We wouldn't care so much if we didn't love being on it. And this is going to be an amazing season. I just want everybody to be safe before they get out there.
And we started this segment, Katie, with you mentioning that no one has died on the Rappahannock, drowned, by wearing a life jacket. And that's what a great statistic that is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just proof that wearing it works and is helpful. Just to piggyback on what everyone else has said about having your plan and what to bring with you, bring water, bring food. Sometimes those floats take a little bit longer than you're expecting. Alcohol is not a great way to hydrate, and if you're out in the sun, you're gonna get dehydrated really quickly. If something does happen, your reaction speeds are going to be a little bit slower. It's going to be a little bit harder for you to figure out what's going on and what you need to do. So wear sunscreen, bring sunscreen and reapply it so that you don't get super sunburned, which is going to dehydrate you even further. Bring water, bring food, even if you're not planning on having lunch or whatever while you're out on the river. It never hurts to have that with you. Just
this is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Kelsey Bracewell with the American Canoe Association, Captain John Henson with the Stafford Fire and Rescue, Swiftwater Rescue Team, Katie Brady with Stafford Fire and Rescue, and April Peterson with River Rock Outfitter. We've just talked about high water today, and you guys were all just saying, even when the water is low, and you just feel like, wow, this is, you know, we need some more rain, we need some more water, still wear your life jacket and all these things we've talked about.
Yeah, well, you can drown in a couple inches of water anywhere, so whether you're on the river when it's feeling pretty low and dry, or in a swimming pool, or in one of these reservoirs or lakes that are such beautiful places and resources around here, so wear your life jacket when you're on the water anytime, anywhere.
And I think this show naturally, you know, we talk about drownings, we talk about all the rough stuff when it comes to water rescues. But I mean, I would like to end, and I think we all would, on the message that the Rappahannock is such a beautiful, amazing, unique river. And we're blessed to have it in our backyard. And for most of the time, it's safe to paddle on. As long as you do all the things that we just talked about in terms of being prepared and safe, it's a great river to get out on. Learning how to whitewater paddle, being up river where you don't even see a house for miles.
Yeah.
It's so unique and rare. To be on the tidal section, to fish it, to swim in it, to play in it, it's so unique. So get out and enjoy it this summer. Just make sure that you have those resources available and at hand so that you're ready to enjoy it safely. You know, one of the things that makes me really sad is when I see all these posts coming out talking about the high river. And if you look at the comments, there's always people commenting saying, my mom told me to never get on that river, so I tell my kids, don't get out on that river. Every single time you see a post like that. And that makes me super sad, because my message is everyone should get out on the river. Just do it safely. And I think we all feel the exact same way and are so passionate about our river and keeping people safe. That's why we come on this show every year, to talk about the hard stuff, so that we don't necessarily have to see it maybe one day.
Yeah. Again, Respect the Rap is a great, respecttherap.com has all kinds of great things. Kelsey, you mentioned americancanoe.org, and there was another website you mentioned.
Oh, America's Boating Channel.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Stafford Fire and Rescue, you guys are, John, are out there all the time monitoring things, training, and thank you for what you do. And you all always talk about all the fun you can have on the river, but just do it safely. As yeah. Katie says, just wear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we obviously encourage everybody, to go out there and use the river. It's such a great resource. I mentioned, you know, before we started here a couple of weeks ago, before we got all this rain, I did a nice float in one of the upper sections of the river, and it's just like April describes. I mean, every time I go out there, I'm like, man, I love this river. Because it is. It's just, I mean, it's beautiful. You're completely surrounded by nature. You feel like, you know, I was joking with the guys that I was with. I was in a group fishing, and, I'm like, we are probably 3 miles from a McDonald's right now, but it feels like we are out in the middle of nowhere. It's just, quiet. You just in nature. We're watching river otters swim around us. You're seeing bald eagles fly over. We're catching. I mean, there's also some really great smallmouth bass fishing on the Rappahannock. I don't know that I want that secret to get out, but I was really close to catching a cetacean, like 1 inch away. So there are some really great smallmouth bass out there. And it is just a great, great fishery. It's a great river. It's just a great environment to hang out and recreate in. And certainly we would encourage everybody to go out there and enjoy the resource because it is just such an awesome resource. It'll make you appreciate it that much more.
Thank you all. Great show. This is always such good information. Thank you for taking the time and for coming in this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Ted. Thanks for having us.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a great and a safe weekend. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.